Thank you for leading that song, Otis. Thank you all for being here this morning. I'm glad that you are in this city. I'm glad that you are in the Abilene community because it needs you, and we need you. I need you. So I thank God for you. I thank God for what He is doing in stirring the hearts of the people in the city of Abilene. You know, for those of us who haven't been here too long, many of us, whenever we're telling people about what Abilene is like, we usually describe the beauty of the aesthetics around us, right? The lush green grass, the tall trees. My wife and I, we grew up in South Texas, and sometimes we do miss the green grass. They've had rain. They've had a wet, wet winter, okay, all of our family back home. But we have something. We have something that I will stack up against any other city anywhere on the planet. We have people here. We have great people in our community. And I think that's our richest resource, isn't it? When you talk to people, why do you live in that place? It's so brown, you know. Sometimes you look out sky, you don't see a blue sky, you see a brown sky, right? The dust in the air and those kinds of things. God has blessed us here in Abilene. This city has been a little crazy, I have to admit, this week. Did you notice it? Did any of you go to the grocery store this week and notice that things were a little frenzied? You know, everybody was getting hyped up about the big event. You know, we're all feeling the same way. Everybody's getting their groceries and everything. And I don't know when it's going to become a national holiday where we actually get the time off. You know what I'm talking about, right? It just happened this weekend, Groundhog's Day, right? Big event. Everybody gets their HDTV so they can see the shadow of the groundhog just right. There is something going on today, isn't there? The whole world is watching for this game that will be played today. And I am a sports fan, and I am a football fan. But you know, without Texas in the game, is it really going to be very good? That's right. I'm thinking right now about Patrick and Vicente, and thank you, Otis, as well for leading. Something about praising God in every language that we can lift up. And so as we are spending time this month talking about our town and talking about God at work in this city, it is His city, as all the earth is the Lord. What a great and powerful statement. Does Jesus speak Spanish or English? How does our church answer the question of the language of God to the people? There is a universal language that you will see in Scripture, and it's not English and it's not Spanish, but it is the very heart of God, and that is love. That's what's behind these verses when we open the Bible. We'll highlight a few of these, and we had a few of these read just a moment ago. But again, Psalm 24, verse 1, what a powerful statement. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all of its people belong to Him. All the earth is the Lord's. These, when we look around in our world, everywhere, but also right here in our part of the world, every single person is made by God and for God and loved by God, isn't he? John 3:16, maybe one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, brings home this idea, doesn't it? The universal love and desire of God for every single person. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The world that He's talking about is the people, isn't he? God cares about every person, big and small. And anytime we look at Scripture and we see that little word, it may be the littlest word in Scripture that is the biggest word at the same time, and that word, all. God has a heart for all, doesn't He? That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent you, church. That's why He's brought us here. You've been brought in because God has a concern for the all that are here at Hillcrest. But even more so the all that He wants to send us to with compassion and care and love. Because everybody around you, you just take a moment and look around you for just a moment. Everybody in here and everybody outside these walls in Abilene, Texas are dealing with the same kind of struggles and the same kind of needs that you and I have. Paul talked about this in Romans 3, 23 and 24, didn't he? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There's a universal thing that every person is dealing with. The pain and agony of sin, our own sin, and the sins of those around us. And none of us is immune to it. In fact, some of us may be feeling a heavy burden on our lives this morning because of something in our broken world. Some of us come here this morning and we have the weight of shame and guilt of our own mistakes. And so we come before God this morning and we come together as a church and we come together in prayer to repent and we come together to confess our sins and to confess our need for Jesus' saving grace. Some of us are here feeling the brokenness of being human and our bodies are suffering and we cry out to God because we have that universal need for God's healing. Every single person around us, the people that we know and the people that are strangers to us, the people that we see every day, and the people that we don't even notice, we don't talk about this stuff. But everybody's dealing with this truth. All have sinned. And all are in need of the only healing and the only restoring of a human life. It's not by anything that you and I can do, but it's by the gift of Jesus' grace. All the earth is the Lord's. And this is how God feels about every single person. We're going to be focusing on Galatians 6 and verse 10 for this whole month and dreaming about this, imagining about this. What does it mean for us to take this idea of doing good to all people? What does it mean to embrace this right here in Abilene, Texas? What does it look like to pray this as a prayer to God? What does it look like for us to honestly and completely open ourselves up to what it means to embrace doing good to all people? I want you to look in your Bibles again at the text that we had read for us. And I can't do it in Spanish, I'm afraid. But I love getting to hear it. You know, the reason why I asked and why we're going to have each Sunday this month, we're going to have a different language, and they're languages that are a part of this community right here at Hillcrest. Spanish is one of them. English is another one. Yes, we have French, we have Swahili. We have Korean. We are a multilingual congregation. But you know, sometimes I only can see and hear from my own perspective, and I can get so honed in on myself that I can totally ignore and overlook other people. People in our church, but even more so, the people who aren't in our church. And so I read back into this text and I think about it from this standpoint of the goal of God seeking to lead His church to do good to all. And the truth is, we have a lot more opportunities than we may be willing to admit. But we can only do this by approaching it with God's Word as our fuel and guide and by embracing God's Spirit here. That's why you keep hearing Paul repeat this over and over again to these Christians. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, and we've already said everybody's dealing with that entanglement, right? Everybody's dealing with somebody, everybody in here around us is dealing with some kind of temptation. Mine may be less obvious than yours, or some of them are more visible than not, but nobody's immune to the struggles of being a sinner. That's why we're here, right? I am here today and you are here today because I need God to transform my sinful heart and cleanse it by His power. And that is in process. We are all a people in process by the healing hand of God here. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Listen to these verses embracing this idea of doing good to all. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's some repetitive themes that you'll hear this in this text. And kind of what you hear is there's a little bit of a tension that's going on. And Paul brought up this tension in chapter 5. And really, he's been hitting on this in all of his words here in the Galatian letter. And that is, every Christian has this tug and pull. And we're living in between this tension between there's my life and my desires and my wants and my pleasures. He calls that pull the flesh, right? And he does. He elaborates that in chapter 5. This is what the flesh wants, and the flesh is over here, and it's pulling on me. And part of what the flesh wants to do is not be concerned about anyone other than myself. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. In many ways, the media that you will see today, I know some people are going to watch the game. Most people are there to watch the commercials, right? Pay attention to what those commercials, what those advertisements are aiming at each of us. None of them are asking the question, you know what, before I show you this product, I just want you to think about somebody else for a moment. They're all about, hey, come here, let me tell you what you need. Don't worry about all... This is just me and you right now. Embrace this ego. Embrace this desire, this hunger. Consume, right? We have this pull from our human selfish side that is completely unconcerned and doesn't ask the question about how my life affects the people around me. That's not its concern. In fact, it's begging for you not to think that way. And here is Paul saying, but the Spirit is contrary to those selfish desires. The Spirit is contrary to the question of my needs and my wants and my fulfillment and my happiness. The Spirit is pulling a completely different way and saying, let's think about God's heart. And what you hear, the more you listen and ask this question, what is God's heart like and what is His desire like? Something beautiful starts to happen. You start to care less about stuff and you start to care more about what God cares about. And what God cares about, you can check your Bibles on this, right? What God cares about is people. All people. God cares about the lowest person. God cares about the least liked person. God cares about the most uncomfortable person, or you name those that we tend to neglect or ignore or avoid, and God shows up right there. When you think about the way that some of the leadership of Jesus' day were critical of His ministry, more often than not, their critiques were about the kind of people that He associated with. People that in their eyes, in the religious leaders of Jesus' day, in many of their eyes, were not the people that God cared about. And ultimately, Jesus died because of that. Because Jesus embraced God's heart so much that He could not go with everybody's own self-seeking desires. And He recklessly abandoned concern for His own life because He had so much compassion and care and forgiveness and hospitality and love for all people that it literally cost Him. He gave His life for the others around Him. You see, what we learn in Jesus is God does have a language. God translated His love into human flesh. That's why Jesus is called the Word. He is the Word, the language of God. And the language of God has a heartbeat that sees and touches and reaches and serves and gives and listens and sacrifices. The Spirit of God is moving the people of God here in Abilene, Texas, to have that very same heartbeat. I know some of you have been feeling this because you've been talking to me about this. And as we've had this time, this past month of talking about spiritual renewal, and as we've kind of as a body of Christ here at Hillcrest, as we've been reading through and trying to pray to God and say, God, we want to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to You. There have been many of you who have come to me and said, I have felt God moving and working in my life. I feel Him moving me to do something for other people. I feel Him moving me to pray about people that I hadn't been thinking about before. Or I feel Him moving me to serve in ways that I hadn't been serving before. Or I feel Him moving me to help people that I haven't helped before. There have been different ones of you who have shared this with me, and I felt a similar thing in my own life, in my own heart here. And it's not any movement of a particular person. It's not any movement of a particular leader here at Hillcrest. What we are seeing and what we are feeling in those moments in our lives whenever we become attuned to that is that God's Spirit is alive in His church today and longing for us to share His heart for the world around us. It's impossible to do good. It is impossible as a human being to do good unless it is God who is doing it, and we just happen to be joining in to the invitation. Listen to what Paul says towards the end of chapter 5 of Galatians here, these last few verses in 5:22 and following. What is God doing? What is the Spirit doing? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And then let us move towards this idea of bearing one another's burdens and doing good to all, including the church and including beyond, those outside as well. Can I give you a word of comfort? Because it can be overwhelming to think of, I'm just one person. How can I fulfill this mission of God? And it is a commission that for the community that God has given us, hasn't He? How can one person do good to all people? Here's the good news. Jesus has already done this. It's already done. All you're doing is just bearing witness to what Christ has already done. All you're doing is bearing witness, letting the Spirit go to work in your life, to what God is doing in the world. You don't have to create new ideas. You don't have to become the one who's trying to create the strategies and the how-tos and all those things. You have to be the one who's open enough to let your heart be laid bare before God so simply and just be able to say, God, let Your will be done in my life. Let Your Spirit be the one who moves me in the lives of others this day. God wants your heart to be the language that is transmitting His love. You're translating God's love through your heart. That's why Paul gives these words as well in Galatians 5 and verse 6. In 13 and 14, he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You're asking yourself, how do I start? Where do I start on doing good to all people? Just start with this question. What would my faith look like if the only way that I was expressing it was through love? What does it look like defined that way? Or he defines it this way as well. Serve one another humbly in love. You know, sometimes it's my pride that's keeping me from seeing other people and caring for other people, because sometimes I feel like they don't really deserve it. I know what they did. I know what kind of people they are. They aren't the kind of people that God really would like. And that's not God who's talking in those moments. God is asking us to serve one another humbly in love and reminding of us of the old command that still bears all this weight in Jesus today. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. My parents are a part of a church plant in South Texas, and they're a struggling little congregation. And they've had ebb and flow of some peak days, and they've been going through some lean days. And my dad is both an elder there and a preacher there, so he's a man of a double mind, okay? That was a joke, but obviously not a very good one. And they'll share with me, here's what's going on, and I'm concerned, are we doing it enough? I'm concerned about us being able to reach the people, and they're in a small town. And then we started talking about a little bit, well, tell me about what's happening. What is God doing? Who is God sending? And they said, well, we, in our neighborhood where we're at, we've been inviting children to come for some special events and things like that. And there has been some things that have been happening. We've had a little bit of a challenge because there's been a language barrier. Most of them come from families that mostly speak English. And so learning how to connect and work through those language barriers has been one of those challenges. But she went on to tell me a powerful story that news that had been shared with them from a father of a three-year-old. And his three-year-old daughter is a little slow on language, is a little slow on speaking, doesn't really speak at all. And he said, this father told my parents, I had to share this story with you. My daughter came home the other day and completely blew me away because, like, she doesn't talk very much. And here's this three-year-old girl comes home to her dad and says, Daddy, I love Jesus. And I love you too. He said, I was absolutely shocked because she doesn't speak. She doesn't speak. And he went on to say this to them simply, thank you for opening the door for us. There are people in your life right now, in this town, who have needs, who have struggles and addictions, who are dealing with marriage problems, who are dealing with family divide, who are dealing with job struggles and financial struggles and addiction struggles, and you name it. And they don't know where to go for healing. And unfortunately, sometimes we have not made our churches the safe haven and the place of grace that they need to be for broken hearts. Quite simply, God is wanting us to open the door. And often what that requires is for us to walk through the door and find the ones who are hurting. We're going to have a video played at this time, and if you have your little handout that you received on your way in this morning, you might notice on the inside, the insert here, one side had the sermon notes. On the back side, it has space for you to write a prayer. As we are going to be spending this whole month talking about opening our hearts to what God is doing in this community and what God may be moving you and moving us as a church to do in this community here in Abilene, I want you to write down a prayer and ask God that His Spirit would lead you. It may be that He may lead you to specific people or lead you to have a more open attitude towards some people that you've been avoiding or neglecting or whatever it may be. But I want you to have a prayer. Write down a prayer that you can be offering as a daily prayer in your life. And you can add to it as the days are going by and as the weeks are going by. Because when you pray this prayer of faith, of asking God's Spirit to move in your life and to open your eyes and to move your heart, you need to expect God to answer because He's going to. But don't close your ears and don't close your eyes. I want you to reflect on that. Right now we're going to have a video to play that may give you some inspiration as we think about our prayer for this city. Let's pray together. God, as we think about the lives of people around us every day here in Abilene, Lord, would you remove any stigmas, any hatred, any hurt feelings that we may have towards others, or just ignorance. Sometimes, Father, we just are unaware of how isolated we become from people and how much we miss opportunities to do good and to share Your love and to share Your grace. God, would You remove any fears and give us courage to care for the people in Abilene, Texas, to care for the poor and to care for the suffering and for the lonely and those who are in despair, Lord, the sin-sick amongst us, who are needing the kindness of a friend, who are needing someone to open the door, to translate to them the language of God's love. Would you move us here as a church? Would your Spirit move amongst us that we can do your will here in this community? This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen. Let's stand together. Otis is going to lead us in song.